Good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to see all of you here this morning and share this opportunity to worship with you this morning. Amen. And get everything in place here. I tell you what, Joe, you're right. I've been sucking on lozenges and things all morning trying to get ready. I couldn't breathe when I started teaching the teen class this morning, but God has blessed me. I can breathe. So I'm going to make it through this lesson. We're going to get through it quickly together this morning. And then we can spend a little time in fellowship and admonishing one another afterwards also. Joe, when he did the table, the other Joe, not the song leader Joe, you started us off perfectly. You said, "This is a good day. Look at the title of the lesson. Thank you for pushing my lesson like that. I'll pay you later, Joe." Okay? It is a good day. It's a beautiful day outside, and it's a good day for us to be here. I want to start by reading to you a few verses, beginning in John chapter 17, verses 22 and 23. "The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, and you and me, that you may become perfectly one, so that the world, on the outside of these doors, may know that you sent me and love me, them even as you love me." John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." And then John 15:9-12, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Would you pray with me, please? God and Father, this morning as we open your word, Father, help us to open our hearts that we might take from it wisdom and direction in our lives. Father, that truly the world around us might know that you love us by our love for one another, that we might proclaim the love that you and the Father have for one another and you displayed while you were on this earth. Father, we pray that as a family we will be united in heart and mind as we move forward to let your light shine into the community around us. Father, thank you for this day. We give you praise and adoration, Father, for you alone are God. We lift our voices to you this morning. We pray that our sacrifice of praise has been acceptable. Father, you are a good God, and your love for us is just so great. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we lay our hearts' desires, our prayers at your feet this morning through Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by talking about 2 Kings chapter 7. We'll be there in just a minute. I want to give you a little bit of a background. This is a period of Israel's history known as the Divided Kingdom. It's around 931 to 722 BC. The nation was divided into two parts. You had the Kingdom of Israel in the north with the Samaria as its capital, and the Kingdom of Judah in the south with Jerusalem as its capital. Boy, I can't talk. Well, look at what my sinuses have done to me. Woo! Hey, no jokes, Steve. That's enough. Was that John I heard too? Okay. You guys, man, give me a hard time. I don't get up here enough. It's hard enough to be here. I start that, I'll sure enough be messing up. All right, I got to slow down a little, I guess, too, right? 2 Kings chapter 6, we find Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has come in and he has put a siege on Samaria. Like you would think of in old medieval times, they've surrounded the city and nothing is coming in and out to the point that the people are starving to death. And in chapter 6 there, we find that people began to sell dove dung to eat. We also find one of the hardest stories that I believe is ever given to us in the Old Testament. For there are two women who are starving to death, and one of them comes to the other and says, "Hey, today let's boil and eat your son, and tomorrow we will do mine. And as the king is walking through the city, a lady comes to him and says, "This is what we decided, and now she will not give up her son." And the king tears his clothes apart and begins to mourn. So he sends to the prophet, goes to the prophet, and is leaning on a captain because he doesn't have the strength. What's gonna happen here? And the prophet of the Lord says, "Don't worry about it. Tomorrow there will be plenty." So this is where we pick the story up in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3. I can't think of a more horrible day than what I've just described to you. But in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3 is where we want to pick up. "Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, 'Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now, come on, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians. If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.'" I love that statement. "Hey, let's go over to the enemy's camp. And if we live, they let us live. Hey, at least we won't starve. But if they kill us, they kill us." What a positive outlook on life, right? Woo, that's right up there. That's how I want to live. We don't want to live like that. But if we die, we die. Man. "So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army. So they said to one another, 'Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come out against us.'" Excuse me. "So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the edge of the camp, they went into the tent and ate and drank, and they carried off silver and gold and clothing and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried off things from it and went and hid them." Day's getting a little better, isn't it? Getting a little bit better. Now we got gold and silver. Possessions, we're taking them. We're going to hide them. Verse 9, "Then they said to one another, 'We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news. And if we are silent and wait until the morning light, punishment will overtake us. Now therefore, come, let us go and tell the king's household.'" This is a good day. So they go back to Samaria, and the world changes for those people just like that. Now I want to share with you something that happened to me last night. It was about 12:15, does that sound right? About 12:15 last night. And Janine's phone's laying over on the dresser in our bedroom. I'm sound asleep. Janine's sound asleep. And it starts going off. Ding, ding. I'm thinking, my first thought is, who in the world? And I'm thinking bad things. You know, something's happened horrible. I don't know. And so she walks over and picks up the phone off the dresser. And she goes, "Here, it's your brother." I hope he's not watching in California this morning. It's my brother. You know, he's a couple hours ahead of us there. There, it's 10:13, right? He's forgotten that it's after midnight here at home. And so we have this issue of, he starts asking me questions. He had been at the house a few years ago, and a couple of years ago, right after we bought our house over here, and we were talking about the fireplace, and he says, I hate using those long matches, they're always breaking, so on and so forth. Well, he goes into town, and he comes back with this most beautiful, it looks like it's a torch is what it is, really. And he says, here, I bought you a housewarming present. So I have this beautiful, huge chrome torch to light my fireplace with, because it's not gas, right? So you got to build like a Boy Scout. So I've got this, I got this beautiful, and he wants me to send him a picture at it. And I'm thinking, it is 12:23 now. Are you up? I am now, little brother. So I send him pictures of the torch, and he says, thank you. And then I'm like, here, put this phone on airplane mode. I don't want any more messages from him tonight. And I'm thinking, here he is. He's an executive for Marriott Hotels living in Silicon Valley with all the technology, and he doesn't even know it's her phone number instead of mine. Let's not tell him. Right? But that's how family works, right? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes family is difficult on us. They bring hardships to us, like the people who are dealing with hardships in the siege of Samaria. And sometimes it's a good day, and they bring good things into our... I have a beautiful torch to light my fireplace with. But I didn't want to talk about it at 12:20 in the morning. But that's family, right? This is the same boy who used to... I have never really slept all night all my life. I maybe in the last 15 years, I've slept all night maybe 3 times, okay? I don't know if that's a curse or what, but that's my life. I just never have. Even when I was young, I didn't. See, it's my fault he didn't sleep when he was a child. I'm sorry, babe. But I would get up at least in the middle of the night, go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, do something. And my little brother would, because we, for a long time, we even shared, you know, a big full-size bed when we were small. And he loved to scare people. Do you know where I'm going with this? And he would hide in the hall. We had, you know, mom and dad had, we had a hallway is where our laundry was, where our washer and dryer, and he would climb up on top, or he was so little he could slide in the side between the wall, right? That's why I learned by the time I was about 16 years old, I learned now if somebody scared, I'm just going to tell you, if you scare me, I'm probably going to take a swing at you. And it's habit. I knocked him out once. I had to go get mom and dad in the middle of the night. I think I killed my little brother. He's coming back too, you know, looking around. But we have those kind of things with family, don't we? Don't we? We deal with some of those issues that family is a blessing, and they're hard sometimes for us, aren't they? For just as the body is one, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to follow along, verse 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with great modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be, no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now let me say this. Today is a good day. We started this morning talking about Christ, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, and that He has come that His joy might be complete within us. And we learn to find that joy because we walk in His steps. We learn from His Word what we're supposed to be, how we live as a body of Christ, as Christians, those who believe in His saving grace, in the life that He has for us, that we live from this moment, that we choose from this moment forward. And He tells us here in Corinthians, and most of you know what the next chapter is, right? It's called the chapter of love. And I want to, we've talked about this in the past. I know I've talked about this from this position, that 13 was written because of chapter 12. If you have not love, you're like a clanging gong or a cymbal. Why would He say that? Because He's just told us that the body is different, that we're all in our different parts of the body. We have different purposes as we move along. I was in a small group a few weeks ago, and Toby talked about how good God had been to him. Just mention it for a second. And it was encouraging to hear that to me. Now, Toby, you don't want to preach next Sunday, do you? You're good? That may not be His gift. But we play our roles that there may be no division in the body, but that we have the same care for one another. Whether we be one of the more presentable parts or not presentable, right? I'm probably maybe not presentable to some of your friends. That's okay. We have a role to play together as a group of people, to be united in heart and mind with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He changes lives and brings to us a joy that is beyond this world's understanding. This is a good day. And that should be our message. This is a good day because you have a Savior who's given His life for you. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. And that's not an easy thing for us to do, right? Because we sit in a congregation and we don't. There are some people we don't know. Well, I don't know as much about all of you as I wished I knew. When a congregation gets this size, you just don't have the time to spend with everybody like you wished you had. But there is somebody in this congregation that you click with that may have that time. We try to find those opportunities for you to learn about the people who sit around you, the people who sit close to you, so that we can care for one another as a body of Christ, be united and be made whole. Because there is a role for you here. You know, our slide, our welcome slide at the very beginning of the service, there's a place for you here. Not because that's what we've decided, not because we want you to come into the door, but because Christ has said there is a place for you within this body. There is a role for you to play, to complete us as a group, so that our light can shine to the world that is around us in a way that we couldn't do it without you. We may need somebody who needs a welder. I'm not a welder. At least you don't want to stand on anything I've welded. Thank you. I appreciate that, Steve. Steve and I have done some work together. He knows. Don't, you know. Not one of them good things, right? But as we strive to be sympathy filled with one another, filled with love and a tender heart, and most of all, humble in mind. Because the reality is, all of us are a little bit arrogant, aren't we? How many times you thought, man, I know how to do that better than he does, or she does. I could do that a little bit. We've all had that, whether it's work, whether it's here in the congregation, whether it's the neighbor's fence row, right? I could do that a little bit better. I need to teach him. John 17, 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you loved me. Romans 12, 16, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. See there, you're commanded to associate with me. I love it. Never be wise. I'm going to read that one more time because I think I need it. Never be wise in your own sight. It's one of the reasons that we've asked you to fill out the vision statement that's laying on the Welcome Center. Because as an eldership, we don't feel like we have all the answers. God forgive us and humble us if that day ever comes. We strive to share our lives with you as shepherds, to open ourselves up, to be able to gain from you wisdom as we share our wisdom with you, because we are one as a body of Christ and we have our roles to play. John 13, 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you have love for one another. One last verse and the lesson is yours. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. See, it's like the lepers who found the treasure after the siege of Samaria. And they started hiding things and they finally realized, you know what, we can't hold this in. We can't hide this from those people who are in need in the city. We can't keep it to ourselves. It would be wrong. We've got to share the treasure that we found with those who are all outside of this little four-man group. Those who are in need. Those who need to know. And so Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 13 that when we find the kingdom, it's like a man who finds a treasure hidden in a field. And he goes and sells all he had that he might have that treasure. Now that we have this treasure, do we keep it all to ourselves? Or do we share it with everyone that we come into contact with? If you found a treasure in a field or a chest of gold, that's why the one bar background here. Would you just take one bar and forget all the rest? Come on now, be honest. This means yes and this means no. Would you take one bar? I'm going to take it all. Now hold that thought for a second. Is that an ugly picture? Be honest again, is it kind of ugly? Yeah. Say it. Say it out loud, girls. Yeah. Say, I love kids because they're always honest. It's ugly, isn't it? Yeah. I saw this painting and I thought, that's one of the ugliest things I've ever seen. Why that white stroke in the middle? Why? Why does it exist? It doesn't make a matter of fact. I can't make any sense about what it's supposed to be. Why is it there? See that little bit of red right at the bottom and it disappears, and I'm trying to, I know it's out of focus. I'll show you in a second. In focus. I'm trying to figure out what's that one stroke, right? Because we have a tendency to look at one thing. If all I could think of about my little brother was his phone call at 12:20 or 12:13, whatever it was, I don't even know. See, exactly. Somewhere around there, right, Janine? Somewhere around there last night after midnight. Then all I could think of is, big dummy, Silicon Valley idiot. But you have to back off. You have to look at family. We have to look at family in a bigger picture, right? What have our lives shared together? What have we done? I remember the nights that we would lay in our beds and laugh until Dad would come in and say, you know, the third time we knew he was serious. All right, boys, if I have to come in here one more time, I'm coming back with a belt. And then we'd be laying there going. I love those memories. I love that time. But even in the church family, sometimes I'm going to have a bad day, I'll tell you right now. Some of you will have expectations of me as a minister, and I promise you right now, sometime in my ministry, I am going to let you down. I'm going to fall. I'm going to falter. I'm not going to be what I need to be. And sometimes you're going to do the same to me. And we find ourselves looking at one little mark and trying to figure out, what in the world are they doing? But you need to know that if you call me and say, Keith, I need you here right now. I need you here. I need you to be praying for me. I need to share this moment with you. I need you to know what I'm dealing with. I will do everything in my power if it's possible for me to be there, for me to stand and talk to you, or take your hand, or put my arm around you, or to kneel in prayer with you. And I promise you that every one of the elders will do that. We're not perfect men, but we're striving to find the joy and the beauty that Christ puts in our lives as a part of this body. And when you step back and look at us as a body, the meals that we take to people's homes and the cards that are sent and the prayers that are offered, then we begin to zoom out and we begin to see the picture as it was meant to be seen. Here on the left-hand side, you'll see this post going up, and it ends, and then there's that white mark just above it. If you focus on nothing but that white mark, you'll never know that this painting was done by a master. But the beauty of the picture as a whole, that's who we are as a family here. With some strange paint strokes among us, myself being one, nothing can be as beautiful as we can be as a one body together. United in heart and mind, sharing our lives together, sharing our addictions together, our weaknesses, our temptations, our struggle with drugs or porn or marital problems. But together, we make one beautiful body. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. If we take the entire treasure in that God meant for us to take, this, brethren, this day is a good day. Would you pray with me? God and Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for all that you give to us. Your love is beyond measure. The gift of your Savior is beyond our understanding. Father, we give you praise. For you alone are worthy of all that we have to give and more. We lift your name on high, for you alone are God, creator of all. Father, even on this day as the sun shines and the earth is headed towards spring and new life and new beginnings, Father, help us as a congregation to look forward into the future as one united body with a vision that strives to let your light shine to the world that is around us, that they will know we are disciples of yours by our love for one another. May it be unquestionable to those who are outside these walls. Father, we thank you for this is a good day. And it has been a good day to be in your word. May your joy be made complete within us. In his name we pray, in Jesus. Amen. Today, as we close this sermon, we want you to know that this is a body that wants you to be a part. We're going to have an invitation song if you want to come forward. If you don't want to come forward, you can grab Greg or David or Bob or myself or almost any man in this congregation and say, who do I need to talk to about setting my life right and beginning my walk with Jesus Christ? But if you do come forward, we're going to surround you, put our arms around you, and help you begin the direction that you need to go. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?